All right, I'm going to try to hurry tonight. We got to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 6. We've been preaching for a while on Sunday evening about Christian character. And we're going to do this tonight, and then we'll probably move on to something else. But this tonight is kind of important, too. I believe it's just kind of like a little summary of things, but it's just basic stuff, behavior. That preacher shouldn't preach on this stuff. No, it's like this morning. I think this stuff needs to be nailed down. You need to hear it. It's just, you want to preach on dignity or disgrace? Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 6. Bible says, folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. Well, now that's upside down. You know, it's supposed to be great dignity and folly are set against one another, see? Where does folly belong? Where is it known? Well, it's in the low places. Dignity is in the high places. I mean, it's just the very definition of the word. A person's character can usually be summed up in two simple words, you know, dignity or disgrace. Disgrace. Think about what the word means. Disgrace. Well, it's to remove any evidence of grace in your life. Where's God? Where's God's influence on you? Where's the evidence of God working in your life and having any control over you? A disgrace is when all honor is removed and you're just dishonorable, dishonored. We understand dignity to mean elegant and graceful. What does that mean? Graceful.
Full of grace.
Exactly. Admirable and having or reflecting high standards of personal behavior. You're living in a world that's degenerate. And they've turned good into evil and evil into good. And they've also turned right into wrong and wrong into right. And they've turned this upside down also. You know, I like history, and I like to look back and see and read and think about it because I think it's very important. It's important to a Christian to understand how the human race has been through the ages and the ups and downs and what's brought hardship and darkness upon them and what's helped them and brought enlightenment and everything. And you can look back in our history, not very far do you have to go till you see a different kind of people. A people that dressed up to go out. They dressed up to go to church. You know, they didn't even go to the grocery store unless they got dressed for it and went out. Now they go out in their pajamas or their underwear. Some of them have even gotten to the point where they go without any underwear, naked from the waist down or the waist up. And so, that's low. That ain't high. And to be dignified does not mean you're haughty and uppity. And that you look down on everybody else and with disgust and disdain and contempt. Because you're better than them. No, that's not what dignity is. Dignity is just realizing you're made in the image and likeness of God. And if you're a Christian, you're His ambassador, you're His representative here on earth. And it's God's honor that's at stake by how you look and how you act and how you present yourself to the world and the way people perceive you. Dignity means elevated. It means worthy, honorable, inspiring respect. We talked about wearing a necktie, preachers wearing neckties. That's one of the reasons that people give that understand this issue. That's one of the reasons they give it, because it inspires respect. It inspires authority. I don't care what you say. You'll take what a man says to you if he's wearing a tie better than you will if he's got his shirt open and shorts and tennis shoes on, trying to talk authority. It removes his... You can deny it all you want to. You're just wrong. That's all there is to it. There's dignity there. Where you want to... You have dignity or you just remove it. And there, where you go from there? Low. All dignity has been removed from the pulpits and the church services and the order of things there. It's all come as you are. I mean, you can wear whatever you want. Who cares? It don't matter. It does matter. Even, you know, the world knows better than that. How can you sit in church and claim to be a Christian and argue with it when the world knows better than that? The newsmen are not sitting there with Hawaiian shirts and shorts on yet. What do they wear? Ties. They wear a tie. Well, that's just the world. You got nutcases that are in the Baptist churches everywhere and everywhere else, and they try to make it all kinds of excuses about it so they can lower the standard down. It's just a matter of dignity. It's just how you want to be taken. It's how much you care about what you're saying, what needs to be said, and how people perceive you. It just matters, you know, it's just a matter of how much you care about how people perceive you. So when we speak of someone with dignity, we're referring to the fact that they take the high road and not the low road in their behavior and the way they present themselves and the language they use. You take the high road, not the low road. Not the haughty road, the high road. You care. You know, there's just a big difference. I don't want to get hung up here because I said I was going to try to hurry, but there's a lot of things I'd like to say along the way. Disgraceful doesn't need any explanation. We've just talked about that. It's the opposite of dignity. It's the low road in everything. And it's been glorified now. It's it's the popular thing to take the low road. To be the scummier. Lower life. You know, unkept, unorganized, unprepared. You know, people won't even comb their hair anymore. Yeah. They won't even fix their hair so it looks orderly and nice. The popular hairdo looks like you just crawled out of bed. And they fix it that way on purpose. Or they don't fix it at all.
Right.
Men have got just like women. You know, women say they want their hair short because it's easier to take care of. Men just shave it all off. So that's a lot easier like that. You know, fix yourself up. Don't you think that's the Christian way? I mean, don't you think that you're going to have a better testimony and a better effect on people if you present yourself orderly, clean? Well, I got all this in here if I can just stay on track here. Dignity is the high standard and disgraceful is the low standard. Most character can be measured by those two terms. You're somewhere at one end or the other or in between. Somewhere. So what do you think about yourself tonight? Do you carry yourself with dignity? Do you present yourself with dignity? Do you look in the mirror? Do you think others, do you think about what others look at you and think? What do you think about people? When you go to Walmart and you see somebody in their sweatpants or their pajamas and just old sloppy, and then you get close to them and it stinks you out and all that. What do you think?
Low.
Low, yes. Yeah. What's the matter with somebody like that? Don't they care? No, they don't care.
No.
It's not the Christian thing to not care. Things like that are so simple and easily fixed, how in the world can you let them go in your life if you care anything about your testimony? How we look. Well, now, you can't do anything about your natural, the way you're made. I mean, whatever face you got, that's what God gave you. But you sure can fix it up a lot by smiling instead of frowning.
Exactly.
That's the truth. And you can, you know, you can't help it if you got red hair or black hair or blonde hair or whatever your hair. Well, ain't nobody satisfied.
No hair.
If they got blonde hair, they want dark hair. If they got dark hair, they want blonde hair. If they got red hair, they want anything else. But people that have anything else want to be redheaded.
Yep.
Well, but how we look, how we sound, how we act,
yes,
reveals our character to others. These are the basic things by which others estimate our character. They really do. It makes a big difference. To me, it makes a big difference. I tell her often, you know, you see these old women. And some of them just look terrible, man. I mean, terrible. You say, well, I can't help it. Yes, they can.
Yes.
It's not the way their face is formed and all of that. You can take an older woman or a man. It doesn't matter. And they could have a face that's really not attractive at all. But if they fix their hair and they're nicely dressed, it's just much more becoming, much more impressive. I see older women that are, you know, they're past all of the point of being romantic and all of that nonsense. They're done with all that. But they still fix herself up. And they look classy.
Yes.
And I don't like that word too much. But you know what I mean. What I mean is dignified.
That's right.
They have some dignity about them. You can call it pride, and then some, I suppose it might be a little bit of pride. But that's a non-issue here, what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about being proud. I'm talking about being concerned that you don't shame the Lord with your life and your appearance and your actions and the way you sound to other people.
Right.
These are basic things that other people judge your character about. They look at you and size you up. How you dress, what you... So, like it or not, people establish in their minds our worth and whether we're worthy of respect or not by these things. So how we look, let's talk about that a minute. How we present ourselves. Well, our clothes say a lot about our character. Really do. I've already hammered on that a little bit, but it's true. It is true. You either want to dress to identify with some social class of people or group of people, or you want to dress nice, dignified.
Right.
To show up at a wedding, you know, you ought to dress appropriate to the occasion. To show up at a wedding or a funeral or any other formal occasion, dress casually or sloppy, that is disgraceful. And if you're a Christian, you should not do that. I don't care if everybody else does it. You ought to care more than that. I see that all the time. Funerals are a disgrace. People come and just like they don't change clothes about anything. They wear the same clothes to the funeral that they wear to the store, that they'll wear laying around the house, that they'll wear to work. No respect. It shows no respect for the family, for the person who's gone on, for their life that you're supposed to be honoring there.
Yes.
It's wrong. I'm telling you, it's wrong. Now, you don't have to deck yourself out, but you need to dress differently, noticeably differently. You don't have to wear a tie to go to a funeral. But I usually do. You know why I do? Because I'm a preacher, and everybody knows it. And they expect to see me in that. And I don't want them to think that I'm going the other way. I'm staying right where I am. I ain't backing up another inch on anything that's right or wrong. I'm done backing up. And I don't want anybody to get that idea. That's part of it.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying it's not. That's another issue there. But you are out of respect. To show that you cared enough to come to do a little something before you came. Appropriate for the occasion, your clothes. A wedding, same thing. I think it's a special time, and I think people ought to recognize that it's a thing that is holy.
That's right.
And it's not something you ought to approach with casual, base, you know. I got a lot of opinions about that. Nobody cares. But I believe it's right.
Yeah.
I think wedding ought to be in a church. If you're a Christian, I think wedding ought to be in a church, mm-hmm. not in a barn.
Right. Agreed.
It's a holy thing.
Yeah.
You're degrading it. You're disgracing it by taking it to a place where animals are.
Yeah.
Or any other kind of thing where that's the modern way, see? Change it all up. It says, you know, when you do that, when you show up at a wedding or a funeral like that, it says you either don't think or that you don't care about others and that you don't respect them. That's what it says. Mm-hmm. Now, that's right.
Yes.
Well, I don't think that way. Well, you ain't thinking right. You don't think like everybody else does then. Maybe because you don't know, don't understand things the way they are. It's not the high road, but the low road. When you show up casual to a formal thing. There used to be formal things. When I was in school, we had things that were formal. That meant you dressed up. You didn't come just any old way. Everything wasn't the same. Tennis shoes and shorts.
Right.
It just wasn't that way. There was a difference. There was order. People understood it. It's not the, you know, it doesn't impress anyone when you to think better of you, but worse when you do this. And likewise, wearing a suit and tie to work on plumbing. I mean, if you're going to go to work on plumbing, don't wear a suit and tie. Or if you're going to mow your grass. I knew a preacher that wore a suit and tie to mow his grass. Said he did it because he was a preacher. Okay, man, but you're a preacher. And you ain't preaching when you're on a lawnmower mowing grass. And when people drive by and look at you out there, they think, he's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dress appropriately.
Yes.
For what you're doing.
Yep.
It doesn't bring any more dignity to mowing grass if you're wearing a suit.
No.
Or being a plumber. Why did everybody used to wear uniforms? The milkman had a uniform. Everybody has a uniform. The police, the grocer.
Trash man.
Nurses, the trash man.
Yeah.
Everybody used to wear a uniform that identified them.
Yes.
And it gave some respect and dignity to their job.
Yeah.
Now nurses wear
pajamas.
What do they call them?
Scrubs.
Scrubs.
Pants.
Yeah.
Pajamas.
Yeah.
Now you just tell me, a nurse with her white hat and her white dress, does that look more dignified, or does these scrubs they're wearing, it just swallows them up and it just looks like a tent coming down the... Or it looks like they're in pajamas. Now tell me, what looks more dignified? What gives more comfort to the person that's sick? Assurance. What inspires more hope and rest in them?
Dignity.
Yes. The one that dressed with dignity.
Right.
Now, the only time they dress that way now, as far as I know, is when they graduate from nursing school. Then they put on their nursing uniform and have their picture taken. And then they take it off and put on them scrubs. I just don't like it. Don't agree with it. I think it's things that are wrong. And I don't think we ought to go along with it.
Right.
I don't want to get sidetracked here, but I read an article yesterday and it was... There's a preacher not far from here, and he writes, and he does a good job. Here's in a short. You know who Alexander Solzhenitsyn was? You don't know. I am getting old. All right, he was a Russian dissident. He was in Russia. I've understood in the past that he was a Christian. Now, I'm not real positive about that, but... He did in his writings, he did mention spiritual things and God and what have you. But he was a Russian dissident back when Russia was, the Soviet Union. And they had Christians in prison everywhere. And it was the real deal, communism like it really is. And anyway, this preacher put this essay that Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote the day before they put him in prison. And it was an essay just talking to people about what to do about the situation that we're in. It's real sobering to read. He described our situation to the T.
Yeah.
And he summed it all up and came down to this. And the reason I brought this into this is because when he got done with all of it, he said, we can't fight. We can't strike on the job because they've got us down so far that we can't. We can't resist in any way except to not participate in their lie. He said they It's all a lie and violence, and their violence supports their lies, and their lies support the violence. And all we can do that'll make any difference is not participate. Refuse to help, refuse to listen, walk out of everything where they try to cram it down your throat. And he was right.
Yes.
And that's what I think about this too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know nobody will do it. I don't know why you ain't got anybody in here like that. But I think if you're a Christian and you're going to be a nurse, I think you ought to dress like a nurse.
Yes.
Just for example.
Yeah.
I don't care if every preacher in the world stops dressing like a preacher. I don't think I ought to. And I don't think you ought to if you're going to be a preacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. I ain't going to participate in their lie. I'm not going to add to it, help them with it, agree to it, sit silent, abide. Step out of it. And he said this. He said, if we would just do that, he said, we would be astounded at what a difference it would make. You remember the picture of the crowd in Germany and all of them are doing this and the one guy sitting there and he said, be like this guy.
You should read that story.
Yeah. He understood what Solzhenitsyn understood.
Yes.
Well, wearing clothes that are not clearly identified with our gender is another way of being disgraceful instead of dignified. Don't tell me that women look more dignified the way they're dressing now. Indians and savages have known better. Find me a picture of an American Indian woman wearing breeches. How did they know the difference?
Yeah.
Yeah, or naked.
Yes.
Yeah, they didn't do it.
No. Dignity. Boy, if I was a woman, I sure wouldn't want to give up my dignity.
No.
If you're a slave to fashions and fads, we look foolish to other people if we just follow along with the fads and the fashions, you look foolish. I don't know. I've never had a problem with that for myself. I just never have looked at what they're wearing and said, I'm going to do that too.
No.
Whatever they do, I just go the other way. I always have.
Yeah.
I don't want to look like them. I don't want to be identified with them. They don't have anything that I really like. I even quit wearing jeans years ago. And it ain't because there's something wrong with wearing jeans. What'd I tell you back then? I said, I'm a preacher. I'm a Christian. And I don't want them thinking I'm one of them.
Right.
I don't want to go in. And I did it mostly when I started wearing a beard. Because I told her, I said, I don't want to go in the post office downtown or somewhere else and somebody look at me and think I'm the same guy that just come out of the tavern up there or the beer joint or something. I don't really make an issue about it. I don't try to make everybody else just do just what I do. But I'm just conscientious about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So if you're a slave to fashions and fad, it shows a lack of stability in your character because you're trying to remake yourself again and again. You're always changing. I wear the same clothes that I've wore, same kind of clothes that I've wore for 30-some years now. I don't need to change anything. I like it the way it is. Works for me. I don't need no new style. I don't need a remake of my personality and my presentation. You ain't going to see me on Facebook showing all different kinds of selfies where I'm a different color hair, I'm a different color lipstick, I'm a different color everything, you know. Why do women do that? Men do it too. I mean, I see men doing it too. Changing their appearance, changing their whole presentation of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They morph into cowboys and other things, you know. I mean, that is.
That's right.
Well, if you're a slave to fashions, and I don't know anybody here that is, but a lot of people are. They go to churches. They serve. And they may be slow, a little bit behind the world and everything, but they eventually buy into it. When we were younger, you know, and like he said, and then young kids and stuff, all the Nike tennis shoes and stuff like that, they started that stuff. Well, I wouldn't have bought a pair of them if I could have got them for 25 cents. Just because the world was making such a big deal of it. I wasn't jumping on their bandwagon, which was a lie and a bunch of junk. To change your appearance with the fads and fashion says that you're trying to redefine who and what you are and what you're about. Well, I know what I'm about and I know who I am and I don't think it needs changing. So I ain't changing it. To change your appearance, you know, it makes you look phony and shallow and foolish. It really does. I wish I could get people to understand that, and I'd like to tell some people that. It makes you look phony and foolish and silly.
Yes.
And like there ain't nothing to you if you're always changing the way you look. Good hygiene. That's real important to good character.
Yes.
Cleanliness is next to godliness. We lower ourselves in the eyes of others very drastically if we're not habitually, you know, if we are habitually unclean in our hygiene. So why is a preacher talking about that stuff? Because there's people that stink and they don't care. And they don't try to do anything about it.
Right.
And what do you immediately, how does, where does, if your estimation of somebody was a meter and you get close to them and it's like, ugh! Where does the meter go? You think, good night. Why would they be like that? No one should see your underwear.
No.
Yes. That's the low road.
Yep.
I mean, you're living low if you're living where people can see your underwear.
Mm.
I mean, through your pants, through your dress. That's not dignified. That's disgraceful. Before somebody gets so far down this ladder of depravity, it's embarrassing to them and shameful. They, you know, for them to see that, it would like, oh. Oh, I could just go, I could get stopped here. What about bra straps and waistbands and boxers and all of that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you, I think you ought to do better than that if you're a Christian.
Yep.
Yep.
We ought to do all our hygiene in private, not in public.
Yes.
Cutting your fingernails. Never been in church where there ain't somebody and they wait for the moment of silence to. Does that bother anybody but me? Especially when you feel one of their fingernails hit you in the side of the head, see? Is it the place to cut your fingernails in the church service?
No.
Or while you're sitting at the table at McDonald's inside? Putting on makeup, you know. Do you ever see women putting on makeup out in public or in the... Combing your hair. It's just not the place to do it. In among other people.
Right.
Buttoning up your shirt or picking your nose or scratching. You know, those things are not dignified. That's my point I'm trying to get across. I ought to teach your children. You know, I mean, children do that.
Yes.
If they itch, they're going to scratch. But I mean, you got to teach them. Son, not here. There's a place for all this stuff, not out in front of other people. It makes you look bad. Makes your mom and dad look bad. It embarrasses the rest of your family, your wife, your husband. I mean, it'll embarrass a husband if he has a wife that does all this kind of stuff right out in front of other people.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, it's shameful, disgraceful.
Undignified.
Yes, undignified. Doing these things in public in front of other people does not raise their opinion of you, but it causes them to estimate you as a person of low character. And they're right. How we sound to others is an important part of how they accurately estimate our character. People that cuss and swear, they're just disgraceful. They're not dignified. It's disgusting to me to hear it. It makes me angry a little bit. Because it's just like they walked up and spit on me. And it's about the same. It shows they have no respect, no regard. They have no dignity whatsoever. It's the low road in language, not the high road. Why do our senators and judges and presidents, and why do they have to use that kind of language? You know, that's what I'm talking about, history. In history, that's been a no-no. Now, they may have been like Harry Truman. He was foul-mouthed. But you didn't hear it in public much. Now they say every filthy word, from the president through the Congress, the judges. Yes, and women with their foul mouths. Don't tell me it's dignified. It takes away from your dignity. It takes away from your authority. It doesn't inspire respect. It doesn't inspire regard for what you got to say because you use foul language. It absolutely never makes a good impression on anyone to hear another person use profanity. Why do the people do it then? It absolutely never may. You know, I'm thinking about something that happened long, long time ago when I was a teenager. I worked in a gas station. It was in the summer. My brother, I think maybe both of my brothers, they were younger than me, but they got a job selling fireworks right next to the gas station that summer. And somebody came and they either stole some stuff or they come over there and started bothering them. They did something terrible. And so I got involved in it and I called the police. And I told them what had happened and I used a bad word. I called them people a bad word. And, of course, the police, they could tell I was 16 years old, 17 years old. And they rebuked me for saying that. And, you know, they agreed to come and see about it and everything, but they corrected me for my language. Well, yes, good for them. Wasn't in no business saying that. What did I think? I was going to impress them with my toughness? With my maturity? Well, they immediately saw, we're talking to a little idiot here. Son, you need to watch your mouth. You need to talk to us with that kind of language. Well, you're not going to hear that now, because the cops use that kind of language when they talk to you. They use that kind of language. When they're arresting somebody, they use far worse language than I used that day. It's the same thing when we use bathroom talk or suggestive talk that takes conversation down in the gutter. It's the low road and it's not good. It's just not dignified. It's disgraceful. There's just things that we shouldn't talk about in public. There's things that shouldn't be talked about in mixed company. There still are two genders. And there are children. There's things that shouldn't be talked about in the presence of children. But all those rules and all those guidelines and all those limits have been thrown away, haven't they? By the world. But we should not throw them away. We are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, and holy nation. We're to be separate from them, different from them. We don't wear uniforms, but our character is different than their character. Because God has something to do with our character. And that makes all the difference in the world. If we're the loudest person in the room, we're making a bad impression on other people. Mark that. Loudness is offensive, not impressive. If we're critical of others and always saying something negative about someone else who's not there, we're taking the low road. We're talking trash on somebody. Well, that's the low road. To speak of others in a positive way behind their back is dignified. And shows respect for others. It causes people to estimate your character much more highly. I wish I'd have prepared what's coming in my mind now a little better, but I remember reading a story about George Washington, and it had to do with that. There was a guy that had deserted or something, and he was in big trouble, and anyway, you know, I can't remember all the details to relate it, but the way George Washington dealt with him astounded the rest of them because of the dignified way that he dealt with this person. He set his own feelings aside and dealt with him righteously and mercifully and with truth. So, you know, it's how we talk about other people. When we're critical of other people, anybody can do that. Anybody can find fault, and anybody can point out trouble in other people. But to look for the good in other people takes some dignity. And here's one that, you know, you can throw right back at me. To use real poor grammar on purpose because you enjoy the sound of it. When you know better, that's not dignified. You ever been around somebody, and here's what I'm trying to say. I don't know if you'll get it or not, but there are people that just talk so, I mean, they just really pour it on heavy with their accent. You know, they redneck, I mean, they take pride in being a redneck who can't half talk. They think that's their badge or something. Yes. And so they really strive to use terrible language. And I don't mean cussing so much as just bad slang. Yeah, slang and grammar and accent, slang and language. You know, that's not dignified. Surely you can talk better than that. That's the low road. Well, I see something I've written down here. I don't know whether I say it or not. I might just skip that one. I don't know any of you that do that stuff, so we'll jump over that one. How we act around others. This shows what kind of character we truly have. And others know it by watching our behavior and interaction with other people. I'm talking about we ought to be real and authentic, not phony and put on. If our character is honorable and we have integrity, which we talked about a few weeks back, we never have to pretend or deceive. And we never have to hide behind a false front. Right. If we have integrity, we are what we are. We're real. Real people. Mm-hmm. Fake people. What did she say? We said it this morning there. You had Sunday school the last couple of weeks at home for the kids. And she just said she didn't like fake church. She wanted real church. People don't like fake people either. I'll tell you, they just don't like fake people. Nobody does. Why are there so many fake people around then? They try to make you think differently about them than they really are. Why do people do that? Why can't you just be what you are?
It's much easier.
Are you ashamed of what you really are?
Most people are.
Yeah. Do you feel inferior about what you really are? Well, if we can't show our true self to the world, then our character is not what it ought to be.
That's right.
Paul said, I strive to keep a conscience clear of offense before God and man. You can hold your head up and look people in the eye if you ain't a thief and a liar and a crook and a snake and a two-faced, backstabbing yahoo. Couldn't think of anything else to say right there. That's right. It's kind of nice to live that way too. Instead of being one thing over here with these people and then another thing over here with these people so you fit in with both crowds. And one of these days you're going to be caught with both of them present. Then what are you going to do? It's a lot easier. It's a lot safer. A lot better for you. Just be what you are.
Exactly.
Just be right. Don't pretend to Yeah, don't pretend to know things when you don't. That's the low road. It'll leave you stranded out on a limb for everybody to see. Did you ever see anybody make a fool of themselves? Did you ever make a fool of yourself? Did you ever let your mouth get ahead of your brain? You know, like kind of deal. Don't pretend you know things when you don't. It'll get you in trouble. Be attentive to others. Put the phone away. Don't be looking at it while you're trying to carry on a conversation with somebody or while they're talking to you. It's very disrespectful and rude to do this. And it's offensive. And so naturally it lowers the other person's opinion of your basic character. Be responsible and leave things as good as you found them at least. Yeah, like in the kitchen. Like in the bathroom.
Yep, that's
right. Mm-hmm. Pick up after yourself. Put things back where they belong. Mm-hmm. Be thoughtful of other people and avoid causing them trouble or work or expense because of you and your carelessness. Mm-hmm. That's part of dignity. Mm-hmm. People will honor a person that's like that. Yep. Just mindful of others and the little things. The little things. Don't be the one that leaves the toilet paper empty every time he walks off and leaves it.
Yes.
Don't be that guy, that girl.
Yes.
Don't be the one that leaves the window open when it's supposed to be shut or the door open when it's supposed to be shut.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Don't be the one that tracks in every time.
That's right.
You know how that is. There's people like that. There's just, everybody knows. Every family knows, every group of people, there's somebody like that. They'll do it every time. If you're a guest in somebody else's house, clean up after yourself and don't leave a mess for somebody else to have to deal with.
Yes, that's right.
We had to stay in people's houses a lot in years past, and we never did do that. I mean, we'd try to make the bed or at least, you know, I knew they'd change the sheets, so we would at least straighten things up. Mm-hmm. I didn't say, they're going to change them anyway, just leave them like that.
No.
Empty all the trash out of the car into their trash can, and, you know.
Right?
Yeah.
Straighten the table.
Yes, I do. I do too. Put the shopping cart back in the place where it belongs.
Right.
You know, just stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It just shows low character. I've kind of gotten the habit of just watching when we go.
Oh, yeah.
And I watch people and they're just so, they don't care.
Yeah.
And so when you see when I do see somebody that does go out of their way to deal with the cart instead of just pushing it aside or leaving it in between the cars or pushing it in front of their car. I think, there's a good person right there.
Yeah.
That'd be a good person to have for a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I'll bet that person's easy to live with. It all goes together.
Yep.
You know, that's why I'm saying part of our character is having some dignity.
Mm-hmm.
Be gracious to others and sensitive about their feelings. You know, we all need to be more careful about that. We're quick to say things mindlessly a lot of times, not really mean anything about it, but we should be careful about what we say. Avoid being a nuisance or getting in the way or being offensive to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Be kind, be courteous, be personable with other people. Have a good manners. You know, speak to other people with respect. Say yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, ma'am. No, sir. Say thank you. Always say thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I think the Lord convicts me when I don't say thank you.
Yeah.
You know, you brought me that biscuit down there the other day at the mill, and I thought later I never even said thank you. I just took it and ate it. And, you know, I thought that. I remember that. Yeah. When you come down the other day to whatever we was going to do. Was it Buswood? No, it was, we were going to saw something. Anyway, I don't remember what the deal was, but you come down by yourself. You didn't have none of the kids with you or nothing. But I mean that, you ought to be conscious of stuff like that. If you need to sneeze, cover your mouth.
Yes, please.
Use a hanky. Use a Kleenex. Use your sleeve. Do something. I mean, don't just, what if I just go, catch about half of you in there right now. It would be offensive, wouldn't it? Or if we're at the table. There sits all the food. Oh!
I've seen it.
Oh, yeah. If you need to sneeze, use a handkerchief. Or don't wipe your nose on your sleeve. Don't put your finger in your nose. Or your mouth. That I know, but she's a little bitty. She got to learn better. Hopefully they will learn better. I mean, it's bad when you see a kid like that, picking her nose and stuff. But it, you know it's a child. What do you think when you see an adult doing the same thing? Oh, we could come up with all kinds of names we've got for people like that that do that kind of stuff. And none of them are nice. Don't burst out in loud laughter so that those around you cringe. That kind of just ruins atmosphere, you know. Tell something funny there. But there's one person that just busts your eardrums, shatters the windows, rattles the rafters, you know. And everybody goes, open doors for other people. Defer to others. Give them an opportunity to go before you or to be served first. You get a lot more pleasure out of that and satisfaction than you will by trying to get in front of them. You will. You'll feel a lot better about yourself. And not only that, but they'll feel better about you.
That's right.
We let somebody in front of us the other day down there. It was kind of bad because he was an old man. He just had a few things, and there it was crowded, and we was there. And I turned around to him and said, won't you just go on? You know, hey, you just got a few things, and we got all this. And he said, well, thank you. I really appreciate it. And so we let him get around in front of us. He didn't even get around us till the cashier behind us said, I can check you over here. So we went in that line, and we got out before he did. So when we went by him, Terry said to him, she said, well, I'm sorry. We didn't help you too much. But we tried. Usually the way it works with me is I'm standing there in line, and he's, two or three come up, I've been standing there 10 minutes. Two or three will come up behind me, and as soon as they get there, somebody will say, I can check you over here. And before, I can't get in front of them. I'm still stuck. And they go through the line, and they're gone, and I'm still standing there in line. But I've had people let me in front of them, too. I'm about done. How we present ourselves reveals our true character to others. It's just so important. I believe this is important stuff. You say it's just peddling. You ain't in the Bible. Well, most of it is in the Bible. The principle behind it is in the Bible. I read you a verse to start with in it. Even though we may try to throw a smoke screen and put up a false front that others can see through it, and see what we really are. We don't ever really fool anybody for very long. Especially when it comes to these things. These kind of things and much more reveal us to other people. Whether we're really taking the high road or the low road in life. Whether we're a base, lewd fellow. Or whether we're a godly person. You know, disgrace, that's to take away God. To declare yourself ungodly. It's really what it is. And of course, this world has went that way. You know, the more base, the more crude in your language, in your behavior, in the way you present yourself, that's the fad, that's the thing, that's the fashion of this world. If you can look dirty, you know, that makes you, that's the way they want to look. They call it whiskers. They call it designer stubble. Always come up with some fancy word for you look like you've been on a drunk for 3 days. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
It's not dignified. I see a lot of guys that grow a beard and they don't grow a beard. They leave it that just stubble. It doesn't, it's not dignified. It doesn't help them. It doesn't make people, it doesn't make a better impression on people. It makes a worse impression. You may fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Remember that.
Yep.
So be real. Be aware what others are really thinking about you. And care enough to be the kind of person God wants you to be. Just remember that you are representing God.
Yes.
And that people judge our God by what they see in you.
That's right.
And in your behavior.
Yes.
And in your estimation of other people and everything, you know. Don't hurt you to dress up. It actually makes you feel better about yourself when you take the high road in all of these things. Being polite, mannerly, watching yourself and how you act and what you do in public. Things that ought to be done in private, like the hygiene and all that that we talked about. You know? I could just pick, pick, pick and go on and on and on. But, you know, if I had to blow my nose real honking, I'd go in the other room. I wouldn't do it right in the middle of everybody. You know, and everybody, that's what everybody's doing while you're doing that. Well, I just thought I'd throw that in there before we quit. It's manners, yeah. It's consideration for other people. Say, well, I just had to blow my nose. Smack, 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 smack. That's what I'd do to you if you was my kid. Just simple, basic, real life stuff about character. And being a good witness for God.
Yes, that's right.
You lose it. You give it up.
Yes.
By giving up these things.
That's true.
Don't hurt you. The tie business. I don't like wearing a tie. I just don't like it. But so what? Am I doing this because for me to be comfortable and me to do what I like? I don't like it any more than anybody else does, any other man. But I will. And I'll continue to do so. When I first started, I had them clip-on ties. Now, I quit that, too. Maybe I shouldn't, because, you know, I've got to let you go. Brother Leroy said he wore clip-on ties because he got in an argument with a guy one time, and they was about to fight, and the guy grabbed his tie, and it was around his neck. And he said, hey, you ain't going to let that happen no more. You're going to go out there and fight, you got to have a clip-on tie. Now, well, if they grab your tie, you're still loose.
Yeah.
Well, I ain't too worried about that.
You're getting too many fights.
No, I ain't doing too many fights these days. Amen. I'm not talking about being haughty and fancy and uppity and better than everybody else and just, when somebody does something like what I've talked about here. But you ought to just take the high road. Live with some dignity. Be clean. Be neat. Be mannerly. Present yourself well as you can. Amen. Father, thank you for allowing us to be in your house today. And we appreciate it very much and are thankful. Pray you'd help us, Lord. These things tonight, just simple little things. I know most churches, you never hear anything about this. That's kind of the way it is here a lot of the time. But Lord, I really do believe these things are important, and I think we need to teach our children to be these things. And Lord, that others would have some respect, not for us so much as for you because of us. Help us, Lord, to remember these things and to remember who we're representing everywhere we go and everybody we talk to. Even if we don't witness to them with the Word of God and all that, our walk and our talk and how they perceive us is our testimony. And Lord, help us not to forget it. Help us to walk a little better in this world that's around us. It's getting filthier and more unclean all the time. Help us, Lord, to keep our hands and our feet and our minds out of it. I pray. Get us home safely, Lord, I pray. Watch over everybody. Help us, Lord, this week as we recover from all this time off and everything. I pray you'd help us to be mindful of you as we go about our business and walk with you and be a good witness for you in Jesus' name. Amen.